It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. Pumpkin spice lattes are an unmistakable sign that fall is upon us. This morning, we're exploring what backlash against the trend says about the way we view women. That's just moments away. First, this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. I'm Keely Boltina here with John Gatto. John, thanks for being with us this morning.
Great to be here. Thank you.
You know, you can count on the Ideas Network for great discussions, and it's your gift of any amount that makes these discussions possible. Listener support is the single largest source of funding for WPR programs, and that's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
15 donors checked in this last hour during the first hour of the drive to get us going on this first day of our fall membership campaign. Thank you so much for your pledges here at WPR. This hour, we're going to double that 15 and add a few more to it. Our goal is 20 pledges in this hour. The goals are set to make sure that we do, in fact, get the money to pay for the programs like the morning show that you rely on.
Let's meet this goal. I know that we can do it, and it starts with your gift at WPR.org, or you can use the phone. Call 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio has been around for a long time. It was just a year ago we were celebrating our centennial. So we're into our second 100 years already because we're committed to quality. And it's the quality that continues to attract listeners and donations from listeners. Listener donations, in fact, make up the single largest source of funding for WPR programs. It results in the kind of quality that you expect to hear when you tune in.
And make no mistake, it is your contribution that makes this program possible, and so many others too. When you give, you are part of the quality that you hear every day on Wisconsin Public Radio, here during the morning show. Make a difference right now with your gift. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You know, I'm thinking that might even feel better to some people, that you're making a difference, not just a donation, not just a contribution, but you're making a difference with your pledge. Maybe you listened to WPR in school as a kid, or perhaps in the car with your parents, maybe you found us, you know, on your own just tuning around. Well, no matter how it is that you finally first discovered Wisconsin Public Radio, you probably want to see that we continue and that the programming continues. It's an important part of your life and of the whole state of Wisconsin, for that matter.
If you've never given before, now is the time to do your part. It is never too late to make that first contribution. You could do, say, $10 or $20 a month. It's easy. It doesn't take long. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
What's on your mind today? Maybe elections. It's a big election season. Election day is coming up the first Tuesday in November, and there's a lot going on. There's the gubernatorial race. There's races for the Senate and the House, the state and local representatives.
You're informed because Wisconsin Public Radio follows the candidates and stories and provides analysis. You hear it on the air, and you can also find lots of that information at WPR.org. This kind of balanced election coverage is only possible with your support. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make your gift on this first day of our fall membership drive, and you'll get not one, but two pairs of WPR socks. They're just the thing your feet are looking for. They're cotton, warm, and stylish.
If I had an extra pair of WPR socks, I'd probably give them to my mom. She likes things that has kind of a meaning and a purpose behind them. So I think this would actually be a gift that she really enjoyed.
I might try to stick them on my dog's feet to see if it would help Toby walk through the snow. But I don't know, they're probably too big for that.
It's up to you. When you give $10 a month or make a one-time gift of $120 today, here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. I'm Keely Boltina with John Gatto, and we are asking for your support during this fall membership drive because it's what makes the WPR programs that you rely on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that gift is the right amount.
And remember, with your gift of $10 a month, Right now, you can pick up a bonus thank you gift. Two pairs of the new WPR socks. They're coming your way with your pledge of $10 a month or a $120 one-time gift. That'd be great. And you help us work towards our goal of this hour. Am I reading this right? We already have... We haven't cracked it yet.
We're
looking for that first pledge in this hour.
Uh-huh.
You can make that first pledge right now at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
Don't do that Wisconsin polite thing where you don't want to be the first one. You want to be the first one.
Be the first one in line right now.
Go ahead right now. Let's start this off. We've got 20 to go. We've got an hour. We can make this happen. You make WPR possible. If you're not a sustainer, you can become one now. It's easy to set up these convenient ongoing monthly donations, or you can give a one-time donation. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
If you're like Phyllis and Brookfield, you maybe appreciate the quality and the educational value of WPR's programs. That's what she told us. Maybe that's what's on your mind. Make your pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks.
It's the morning show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. John Munson here with you today. Lots of people find Starbucks pumpkin spice latte contemptible, but why? According to my guest, the pumpkin spice latte has become something of a straw man for discussions about capitalism, seasonal creep, and the meaning of basic, resulting in widespread hatred for an otherwise innocuous beverage. We chronicle the drink's history and public reception with a pumpkin spice latte lover to start this hour. Then, later on, a professor tells us why people deride trends perceived as feminine. So, are you a lover of all things pumpkin spice? Why? Why not? Is it the taste or the feelings it evokes? Or do you think all the pumpkin spice during the fall is a little overkill? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Rebecca Jennings joins me. She's a reporter at Vox.com and recently wrote the piece Pumpkin Spice Lattes and the Backlash to the Backlash Explained for Vox. Rebecca, welcome to the morning show.
Thank you so much. Hi.
So are you having a pumpkin spice latte during the interview here?
No, I'm using that as my reward for afterwards.
Okay, good to have goals. So you've called yourself a pumpkin spice apologist. Why?
So to me, they've always just been like this very fun drink. I've always just been sort of like an unabashed lover of them. I'm from New England. It's like fall's kind of a big deal there. And I've always thought that like the smell of them just, they really do smell, even if they don't quite taste like it, they do smell like something like pumpkin flavored baking in the oven. I just think they're good.
Well, truth in advertising here, and much to the shock of my production team, I've never had a pumpkin spice latte, but my intentions are good. So when did this drink show up, and how did it get here?
So pumpkin spice lattes were invented in 2003, and there was actually originally some hesitancy because people thought that it would compete with the integrity of Starbucks coffee, unfortunately for the people fortunately for Starbucks, they didn't listen to those people. And within a decade, it became Starbucks' top-selling seasonal drink. As of 2015, I believe they've sold like 200 million of them. It was estimated about that year that it brought in $100 million in revenue for Starbucks. So it was obviously a huge success. And then what happened in 2015 was it actually changed the recipe to include actual pumpkin. And previously, it just sort of included the spices that go into pumpkin pie, you know, like nutmeg, cloves, ginger, things like that. And it basically tasted the same. So that also like sort of opened it up to criticism, the fact that it didn't actually have pumpkin in it for about a decade.
So what was it that made the pumpkin spice latte get so popular? How did it become such a big deal?
So I think like besides the fact that in general, I think people just get really excited about, you know, the first signs of fall. It's this harbinger of the holidays and finally a reprieve from, you know, hot weather. And I also think like fall is sort of associated with this like very like, it's a fun and dorky time. Like you get to like wear vests and go apple picking, like things that you like don't usually do the rest of the year. But also because there's actually a theory that after 2008, in hard times, like after the recession, people in general tend to crave foods that bring back these like happy memories. And because pumpkin is often associated with like Thanksgiving and the holidays, that sort of became like this thing to grab onto, this simple thing that made us feel happy in times that were maybe hard financially.
So what was the role of social media in the popularity of pumpkin spice?
So I think that the reason that we are all sort of like talking about pumpkin spice is partly because, and we really only started talking about pumpkin spice in like the 2010s. Like, it didn't seem that many people like cared to like hate it until sort of Instagram became popular in the early 2010s. And I think because if something blows up on Instagram, if something like, if you see all these like hashtags, like hashtag PSL, it's like finally fall, I have my PSL, that becomes a target. Like, anything that becomes popular on Instagram is going to probably have a backlash. And I think that's sort of what happened with pumpkin spice lattes. You see these Instagrams of these maybe girls with Uggs on, you know, in like, it's a top-down photo of their Uggs on like crunchy fall leaves, and there's a Starbucks cup in, and you know, and that became like this very like sort of Instagram trend, and therefore it becomes a target for backlash.
All right, grab your pumpkin spice latte and hang on. When we continue, we'll talk about that backlash. Rebecca Jennings is my guest. She's a reporter at Vox.com. You can join us at 800-642-1234. Let us know what you think about this whole pumpkin spice thing. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Good morning. It's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. I'm John Gatto with Keely Boltina, and we're here this morning to ask you to help us raise the money that pays for The Morning Show and all of the programs that you enjoy on Wisconsin Public Radio. Support from listeners like you is the single largest piece of the funding for WPR programs. That's why your support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
We are looking for 16 more pledges in the next 40 minutes. We've already gotten a few calls. Thank you so much. Let's keep the momentum going. When you give, you fund The Morning Show and all of the other Wisconsin Public Radio programs that you count on. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When you listen to this and all of the talk shows on the Ideas Network, you participate in a statewide conversation. Whether you call in or just listen, you're participating. You hear from experts, and you also learn from the interesting and the diverse experiences of some of your neighbors, your friends, from all over the state.
You go out into the world a more well-rounded person every day, full of things to think about and to talk about. Because you value being informed, support the conversations that keep you connected. Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you'd like to support Wisconsin Public Radio in the same way that you listen to it, that is, on a continuing basis, we encourage you to maybe think about an ongoing gift of $15 or $20 a month, whatever amount is right for you. We can set that up on your credit or debit card, or better yet, an automatic withdrawal from your bank account. It's what we call a sustaining gift, and we're inviting you to become a sustaining member today. The beauty of it is that you don't have to remember to renew your support every year.
And your gift is a consistent opportunity for WPR. And I want to give a shout out to Shelley in Madison. She's a sustainer and made an extra gift.
Wow.
She says, I turn on the WPR app every morning on my phone and stick it in my bathrobe pocket so I can listen along all morning. Shelley, thank you so much. Your support is that consistency to make sure that WPR programs are possible month after month, year after year. So become a sustainer now. Set up your ongoing gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've probably all had this happen. We spend money on something and then hardly ever use it.
Dining room chairs, because I eat in front of the TV more often than I should.
I think I bought a $5 pair of wireless headphones once, thinking, how bad can they be? They were pretty bad.
Decorative holiday towels.
Unlike some investments, your donation to Wisconsin Public Radio is a good one. one you'll get value from every day. Make your gift to support the programs you count on right now. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Keely Boltina here with John Gatto.
Good morning.
Hi. We're raising the money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio and all of these programs that you enjoy on the air. Whether your pledge is $10 a month or $100 a month, know that we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And we count on your gift right now. This is the time. Pledge right now while you're thinking about it, while you're hearing us. And, you know, it only takes a couple of minutes from what is admittedly probably a busy morning, but it only takes a couple of minutes of your time to contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio.
And then you'll go about the rest of your Friday and the rest of the pledge drive having that good feeling of supporting the programs that you love. See what that's like right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you become a member for the first time, a brand new member, you'll join 9 others already who have become new members. Thank you for your new member gift or your renewal here at WPR. Your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is such an important part of making the morning show and all of the programs you listen to possible.
If you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly donations, thank you. You could make today the day that you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose. And you do that by calling 888-202-2552 or going to WPR.org. Your pledge right now is so important. Make that call. Hop online, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.
It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Well, it's a pumpkin spice flavored hour as we continue our conversation with Rebecca Jennings, a reporter at Vox.com. She recently wrote the piece Pumpkin Spice Lattes and the Backlash and the Backlash to the Backlash Explained for Vox. So let's talk about people, why people get so annoyed with this trend. We had a caller earlier, Randy, couldn't stay with us, but he really wasn't sure why people get so upset over a latte. I mean, there are a lot of things to get upset about, cancer or war. I mean, there's some real issues that we probably should be upset about, but, you know, instead we're picking on a poor latte. Where does this backlash come from? You wrote in your article that it's about our anxieties around capitalism. What's going on here?
So I don't think it's about just like the pumpkin spice latte. The latte never hurt anybody. So I think that the fact that pumpkin spice was, when the pumpkin spice latte succeeded, like when it was a bona fide like success, in capitalism, that's what happens. Like, it spreads to everything. If something succeeds, there's going to be copycats. So what we saw in the early 2010s, when pumpkin spice lattes took on this sort of like fraught meaning, pumpkin spice in general was sort of everywhere. And that's not only because the pumpkin spice latte was succeeding, but it's also because it was forecasted to be a huge food trend by spice brands. Like, McCormick had the study in 2010 that was like, pumpkin spice is going to be a really big deal, and that exacerbated it. So if food brands are seeing that pumpkin spice is going to be this huge trend, they'll jump on it and make a ton of products that have pumpkin spice in them. Like, if you've ever been to like a grocery store or like a Trader Joe's in October, like, you will see everything is pumpkin spice. And there was pumpkin spice deodorant, there was pumpkin spice dog food, there's pumpkin spice alcohol. When it's sort of so in your face like this, I think it makes us a little bit uncomfortable. We're like, what is happening? You know? And another reason I think people get so upset is because the pumpkin spice latte keeps getting released in hotter weather, which is sort of strange. This year it was released on August 28th, which is, you know, that's not fall weather in most parts of the United States.
But this jumping the seasons thing isn't just about pumpkin spice latte. I mean, I forget which one of the big box retailers already had their Christmas stuff out 2 weeks ago.
Exactly.
So we've got this seasonal creep going on. Pumpkin spice latte may be just another example, but it certainly isn't an isolated case. We keep moving the calendar forward. Pretty soon we'll be celebrating Christmas in February.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I think that also makes people really uncomfortable, and it's just one more thing, you know, to blame on pumpkin because it's so in your face.
Well, on a more serious note, there's another reason why you think people love to hate on the pumpkin spice latte, and that is contempt for women. Can you tease that idea out for us?
Yeah, sure. So I think with a lot of food trends, you know, cupcakes, pumpkin spice, you know, cute things like that are like, you know, feminine coded. We don't have the same kind of contempt for food trends that are masculine, you know, sort of like, you know, these IPAs, barbecue food. These are things that are taken a lot more seriously than trends that people see as feminine. And I think part of that has to do with our contempt for people that sort of like fall for marketing. And that also has to do with like the capitalism stuff where it's like, if we see this like being pumped out, like marketed towards a certain group of people, like, and then we see those people, you know, sort of quote unquote fall for it by like purchasing it, it's really easy to rag on people for that. And also with pumpkin spice being like a feminine trend, it's really easy to sort of just like dismiss it as basic, which sort of just means someone with very average, predictable taste, and it's usually a gender term reserved for women.
Well, for the record, I don't like Flamin' Hot Cheetos. So where are we now with pumpkin spice lattes? Are people generally over their hatred of it? Have we moved on to the next trend?
Yeah, so I think that it seems like we kind of like got this over with in like 2014, 2015. I think the general vibe is like, okay, let me like what I like. I'm not hurting anybody. And also apparently companies are like making pumpkin spice products, but like not as many people are buying them as we used to. So I think people in general, the trend has kind of died down, but also the mood in general is just like, why do you care what I like so much? And also the idea of like building your entire personality off of stuff that you don't like is not really a novel concept. I think we've sort of like been there, done that with that.
Well, I like peppermint mocha, so don't hate me. Rebecca Jennings, thanks for joining us. We're out of time. Rebecca Jennings is a reporter at Vox.com who wrote the piece Pumpkin Spice Lattes and the Backlash of the Backlash to the Backlash Explained. Thanks for joining us. We'll continue our conversation in a moment.
It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. Up next, we discover how our culture's concern about things we label feminine goes beyond opinion. It changes job opportunities and wages. That conversation continues just ahead. Right now, this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. I'm Keely Boltina here with John Gatto, and our goal is to keep bringing you topics like this one that stretch your imagination, that make you think a little bit harder, and that better prepare you for the day you have ahead. Your support makes that happen because listener support is actually the single largest source of funding for WPR programs. So there's an easy answer. Give now. Any amount you choose makes a difference at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
One more reason to make your pledge now. We're looking for your pledge and six more to meet this hour's goal. So please take just a couple of minutes of your Friday morning to support the programs that you listen to, including The Morning Show. These hourly goals are set up to make sure that we have the funding necessary to keep this kind of programming coming your way. Make your donation at WPR.org. Or call 888-202-2552.
You know, this morning we're talking about pumpkin spice lattes, and some may have made their way into the building at this point. But it's not just about coffee, right? It's about the sociology behind it. It's about how we interact with one another and the expectations that we create of one another. And it's because of you that we're able to have these unique conversations that you can't find anywhere else. Wisconsin Public Radio is listener supported. That means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. Choose an amount that works for you.
You know, it may not be the most pressing issue of the day. However, it's an interesting issue, and it's all part of what makes this world interesting. So whether it's the hard issues of the day or something that's more informative, like what we're hearing in this hour.
And fun. We have fun too.
We do have fun, and we got to have a little bit of that, especially on a Friday, right? Just heading into the weekend. Well, let the world know that you're a WPR fan of this kind of programming when you make your pledge and when you wear your cool new WPR socks. Yes, today only, you can get two pairs of the new WPR socks, our thank you gift to you, when you give $10 a month or more, or a one-time gift of $120.
I have to tell you, those socks are important. Christy and Sean from Appleton say, thank you for fantastic programming. We are suckers for socks. And we love so much more about Wisconsin Public Radio. Thank you, Christy and Sean. We appreciate it. Your gift supports the programs you care about, and you can get these stylish and comfortable socks, two pairs today. Show your support for WPR on this first day of our fall membership drive. Give now at Wisconsin Public Radio, WPR.org, or call 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is, I mean, it is Wisconsin. I moved here from another state, and that was my introduction to Wisconsin. And every day, that's how I know what's going on in Wisconsin. On a monthly basis, I'm contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio. When I hear them talk about sustaining members, I realize that's me. And I kind of like that. Contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio makes you feel like you're part of a family or like a community. That's how I feel every month. And even if they're just giving a small amount, they can feel that way too. I'm Bridget from Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Join Bridget. Make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm John Gatto with Keely Boltina. Listener support is the single biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you rely on. That's why your support during this fall membership drive right now is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month or $20 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, it's the right amount.
We have 7 more pledges to go. We have 20 minutes to get them. We can do this, and you can make it happen. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
If you're not a sustainer, well, you can become one right now. It's an easy way to set up convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. You can set that up and get that process going of being a sustaining member at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Your gift is so powerful, it makes a difference. Go to WPR.org or make that call, 888-202-2552, and thank you.
It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. We're talking about the pushback or backlash against pumpkin spice in general and pumpkin spice lattes in particular. In this segment, we'll explore how our culture's concern about things we label feminine goes beyond opinion. It changes job opportunities and even wages. Do you ever feel like when lots of women like something, it's suddenly seen as annoying or ruined? Tell us your story, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. You can send us an email, ideas@WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. My guest in this segment is Kelly Wills, Associate Professor in the Division of Communication at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. She teaches communication, gender, sexuality, and women's studies. Kelly, good morning. One of the theories for why pumpkin spice lattes became such a hateable seasonal drink is because they became associated with women, and I want to explore that. So do you think we treat feminine and masculine things in the same way as a society? Oh, I guess, Kelly, are you there? We're missing Kelly. Okay, well, that explains why she didn't say hello. Kelly Wills is my guest. We will eventually get her on the phone, and we will continue to talk about this. In the meantime, I'll ask you again, is this something that you've run into or that you've noticed? When something becomes popular with women, it's kind of becomes a put-down, or it's annoying or ruined. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll do our best to get your calls in here on this edition of The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. And again, we're talking about the pushback or backlash against pumpkin spice things in general. Pumpkin spice lattes introduced by Starbucks in 2003, and they exploded on social media and it became a big thing. And then there was backlash against that, and we were discussing why that is and how that works. But we're going to dive a little bit deeper into that and talk about some of the cultural implications that go beyond just which beverages and flavorings we like and how we tend to label things that are feminine in ways that we don't label things that are considered masculine. And we can even discuss how this might change job opportunities and wages. So, Kelly, we've got you now.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. One of the theories for why pumpkin spice lattes became such a hateable seasonal drink is because they became associated with women, and I want to explore that. How do we treat feminine and masculine things differently, or do we?
Sure. So the academic term for this is called gender ranking, and it's just the idea that we tend to value things more when they're coded masculine than if they're coded feminine. One of the things that feminism and the women's movement has done really well is that it has allowed girls and women to do sort of quote-unquote masculine things, but the converse actually isn't very true. So we have a space for girls to be tomboys and to engage in behaviors that are historically coded masculine, but boys actually are frequently punished for engaging in things that are coded feminine. Some examples of this are allowing young girls to play sports, but not allowing boys to be interested in sort of singing in choir or being in the school play or being interested in baking, right? Those things are coded feminine. There's no masculine equivalent for tomboy. We just have these really punishing terms like sissy or worse, all of which are gendered feminine. But it's acceptable for, you know, girls to wear boyfriend jeans. There's no brand of girlfriend jeans for men, right? So there's a lot of ways in which trends in general tend to be coded masculine or feminine, and a lot of things are gendered too in general that we don't really are aware of. And to get back to your caller's question about, you know, why this matters, maybe not pumpkin spice lattes specifically, but gender ranking actually has a huge effect on the wage gap. So once an occupation is coded feminine, it becomes less and less valued by most members of society. So if you look back to this study from Cornell University, it found that when greater numbers of women entered fields historically dominated by men, the average rate of pay declines for all workers for the very same jobs that men were doing before. If you look at the Bureau of Labor Statistics, for example, the median earnings for information and technology managers, which are mostly men, are 27% higher than human resource managers, mostly women. At the other end of the spectrum, janitors, usually men, earn about 22% more than maids and house cleaners, which are usually women. And the reverse is also true if you look at jobs that were once coded feminine and that are now coded as masculine. So computer programmers, for example, used to be a relatively sort of menial job that were primarily done by women. The term computer had to do with actually people who were doing the computing, which were women at the time. But when male programmers began to outnumber female programmers, the job actually began paying more and gained more prestige. So there actually are real-life consequences beyond just sort of food trends becoming annoying or accepted when gender ranking permeates other aspects of our society.
So is this sort of thing made even worse by, say, advertising or the way our media operate?
Yes, absolutely. So we tend to forget how much the media influences us, and feminists for a very long time have been calling for media literacy. So if you look at the way that advertising affects us, let's just take the diamond industry, for example. There's no actual logical reason for us to put a gemstone on our fingers to celebrate marital status, but De Beers Diamonds did a great job of convincing us that we needed to do that to celebrate marriage and fiancés, things like that, and we have just been participating in that ever since without actually questioning why. If you look at Sue Jolly is a theorist who talks about participation, and it's our own participation in our own manipulation in terms of how society and advertising affects us. And so once things become coded feminine or masculine within advertising, we tend to just reinforce that without really thinking about it. And because we tend to not have very thoughtful conversations around race, class, and gender in general, we tend to not really be aware of these things.
Well, I think, awareness is really a key issue. I mean, there's so many things that happen that we don't really even think about because maybe in the back of our minds we are thinking, well, that's just the way things are.
Right.
I sent my wife flowers on our anniversary, but I don't get any.
Right.
I don't mean to make light of this, but I mean, there's sort of these tracks that we're kind of in,
right.
And how do we get out of them?
Well, just being educated, right? A lot of this has to do with internalized misogyny and gender oppression as well. So a lot of mothers, for example, may be perfectly okay with their son dressing up as Little Mermaid for Halloween, but they're really worried about them getting beat up at school, right? And so, again, they're reinforcing gender norms for fear of just their children being ostracized or bullied. And so those are real-life ways in which all of this gets reinforced. And we see this actually even within the legal system. So interestingly, last week a couple in France got in trouble with their government for naming their son Amber, which is technically a female name. And so in 1993, France required parents to choose a baby name from a list of acceptable options. Once this was sort of done away with, parents were given more leeway. But actually, the court stepped in and said these parents weren't allowed to do this. And so, again, this is really, really part of the fabric of our society as well as elsewhere. And we tend to not realize how much this permeates every aspect of our lives.
We're talking with Kelly Wills, an associate professor in the Division of Communication at the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point. And one of the things I would like to know about more is who are the people who perpetuate these gender rankings that you're talking about? Is it only men or do women do it too?
Women do it too. It's all of us, right? The less we understand how much this is part of our society, the more we reinforce it, right? And so because we are not aware of these things, I know I had a mother in my class who wanted to buy her son a vacuum, for example, and he just loved vacuuming, and she could not buy him one because they were all bright pink and just for girls, right? And so this starts at a really young age, even in terms of onesies. We see onesies for boys that are, pimps and lady killer, right? And we see ones for girls that say, I'm bad at math. And so, again, all of these sort of stereotypes, we start from such a young age, and because they come from our family, we again tend to really not counter or question them because this is our parents doing this stuff.
So what's your take on whether or not we'll ever see these gender rankings even out, or are we just hardwired to want to code things?
We want to code things. We like things in boxes. A lot of it, you talk if for academics studying masculinity, it's called the man box, the idea that, again, we tell young boys specifically it's not okay to cry, it's not okay to show emotion, it's not okay, you should be associating strength with violence. And so and until and unless we actually realize how much of our society is gendered and the ways in which that we as a society reinforce this, we're not going to see much change, right? And especially in higher education and institutions where we tend to be cutting programs like gender studies and other kinds of studies as well, we're less likely to be even more informed and educated about this. So that plays a part in this as well.
And what can we do to create more parity here?
We can start talking to our kids, right? One of the things we can do is maybe as you're watching a movie with your child, ask your daughter, why is she wearing that to fight crime? Why is she wearing that skirt to maybe fight the monsters, right? Or why is it that we never see heroes in terms of women and girls? And so we can actually have better conversations with each other about these things and just start questioning why. A lot of the things that we do, we tend to just do subconsciously without giving much thought to it. But I think everything has a tradition and a history. And once we start labeling things as normal, natural, or right, that's when we get in this sort of place where we really just reinforce the things that sort of maybe always have been without sort of understanding that everything does have a certain origin and a point of origin, and a lot of it has to do with advertising as well. So being aware of advertising and codes, constructs, how we are persuaded, all of that would do a lot. Media literacy in classrooms would do a lot as well.
Well, we're certainly in an incredibly mediated environment, so there's a lot of messages to be aware of. And thank you for coming on this morning and helping us to maybe pick out some things we ought to be paying attention to.
Sure.
I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Kelly Wills is an associate professor in the Division of Communication at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. She teaches communication, gender, sexuality, and women's studies. We really appreciate her being with us. So you can go refill your pumpkin spice latte and get on with your day, or stick around with us. More to come on the Ideas Network. This is The Morning Show.
It's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. Good morning. I'm John Gatto with Keely Boltina, and we're asking for your gift. That's why we're here. We're asking for your gift in support of Wisconsin Public Radio during our pledge drive. It's because gifts from people like you are the single largest source of funding for WPR's programs, including The Morning Show. Your gift keeps this program and all of the programs that you enjoy going strong day in and day out. Please invest in your future listening. Make your pledge now. We're waiting for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're in the middle of The Morning Show, and still to come during this program, we're talking with WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson about a redistricting case. We have another conversation about a lawsuit involving the Affordable Care Act. It's these kinds of conversations that you can't get anywhere else. And I want to give a shout out to Gary from Lake Geneva. He says, I value the news and programs offered on a daily basis and feel the need to contribute at least in some small part. Gary, your contribution is not small. It is huge. It is why we are here, and it is the way that WPR is powered. WPR is listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible.
Choose an amount that works for you, maybe an amount that reflects a feeling that you have similar to what Gary expressed, and that you do value the news. You look forward to the content that we're able to provide each morning here on The Morning Show. Good reason for you to become a donor. And when you do, you get to decide how much it is that you give. So maybe it's $1 or $200 a month, if that's right for you.
That might be what you spend every month going out to dinner or doing things with friends. Those are things that you enjoy, and those are things that make life better, just like listening to WPR. The important thing is that you decide what amount is right for you, and then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Make your gift on this first day of our fall membership drive, and you'll get not one, but two pairs of WPR socks. They're just the thing your feet are looking for. They're cotton, warm, and stylish.
They would probably make a really handsome golf club caddy, maybe. They would keep my lens for my camera nice and warm, protected in my bag. Plus, it would be nice and flashy. It wouldn't be the boring like neoprene sleeve I usually put on things.
I will wear my WPR socks everywhere.
It's up to you. When you give $10 a month or make a one-time gift of $120 today, here's how.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. I'm Keely Boltina with John Gatto. We're here asking for your support during this fall membership drive. And we're here because that is what makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. Your gift could be $10 a month or $20 a month. The amount that you choose is the right amount.
WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. Think about what's important to you. Family, friends, hobbies, your morning latte, perhaps.
Perhaps.
These are things that you invest in, your time, and oftentimes your money. Giving to what's important to you is what makes a difference in your life, and it makes you feel good.
The single biggest source of funding for WPR is listener support. So your pledge makes a difference in your life, and it makes a difference in the lives of hundreds of thousands of other listeners. And so together, we make an impact on our community. Make your donation today. Make your difference today with your first ever gift of $10 a month or $120 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We say $10 a month or perhaps $100 a month or whatever it might be. So you might really be wondering, how much should I give? Well, it's entirely up to you. You think about it. Think about how valuable this programming is to you, how much you count on it. Your contribution of any amount will be turned into great programs, programs that we hope will keep you informed, and we trust will keep you informed and entertained all year long.
Make your pledge right now. It's the amount that's right for you. Call 888-202-2552 or go to WPR.org. And when you do, you play an essential part in funding the programs that you count on, that you listen to every single day.
Thanks to each and every one of you who has called already during this hour. We have just blown through our goal for the hour. We've had 24 pledges already, and we still got time to get your pledge in right now. So please take just a moment, WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge.
We welcome new members. We also welcome sustaining members. Thank you for your donation, but also make the day you increase it. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and thank you.